So y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm here so I won't get fined.
Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win.
The second half, we sucked. We couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball and went down and got points, we got our ass totally kicked in the second half. That's what it boiled down to. It was a horse performance in the second half.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Then erroneous reports, people questioning my loyalty to him. That is absurd. Next question. Next question. Next question. Next question. Next question.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
You were 2-7, you'd be in a bad mood too.
What's happening, guys? Welcome to the Dynasty War Zone, the People's Dynasty Podcast, streaming live on the Player Profiler YouTube and podcast networks. I am joined by my illustrious co-host. You know him as the man of the hour and the man with the power. Jerry Sinclair, when you first signed on to the live stream, I thought you were wearing a Hawaiian shirt. It's actually a flannel shirt because you live in Iowa. It's cold as a bastard.
It is so
cold. How are you doing there in cold as a bastard Iowa?
You know, I'm actually in shorts, which is a very Iowa thing to do when it's cold. But I'm good. It is terrible. It's supposed to be 50 for the holidays this next week, which is absolutely bananas because it seems like it's freezing right now. But I'm good. I had some disappointment in some leagues this week, which is just there's something demoralizing about losing that league that you just. You commit so much to, like my oldest dynasty league, my home league. I lost in the championship last year. I won the championship the year before. I have an awesome team, like AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Cooper Kupp. It's a good team. And I lost to my buddy this week. I had a decent week. He just went absolutely bananas and just crapped on me. And it's just, this game is just evil. You love it. You love it sometimes, but it's this week, next week, and the week after that, where it's just, it can kill you. And it's a real bitch.
I am looking forward to the sweat, literally and figuratively, next week while I'm on vacation because I'll be traveling on Christmas Day. You get cheaper rates if you fly on the actual holiday. You fly the day after. They jack them some bitches up something fierce.
Yes, they
do. So we're traveling on the holiday, but this year, and I love and people bitch about the NFL because people like to bitch. People bitch about sunshine and puppies and other really good shit. And the NFL treats us so well. You're gonna get games on the 23rd. You're going to get games on the 24th, and you're going to get games on the 25th. I told my wife, I'm not only going to be useless on Sunday, which is usual, I'm going to be useless on Saturday and Monday. It's like we're going to get to this resort, and I'm going to be freaked out because we'll be in Mexico, right? And we'll not have service when I get off the plane, right? And I'll be sweating like Mike Tyson in a spelling bee. Getting off that plane because I'll have no clue of what's going on with any of my teams because you know you've got the Patrick Mahomes and the Raiders is the first game. I don't remember the middle game, and then I'll be checked in and at like a sports bar or something when the game that everybody has to watch, right? The Niners and the Ravens. So I mean, yeah, I'll be sweating.
I got the Lions trying to win the NFC North for the first time in 30 years, which is about thing that I care about.
That's a lock.
We're not jinxing anything.
I said what I said.
30-year wait, sir. Lock. It's a 30-year itch. I just want to scratch it one time.
But anyway, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into how our leagues wrapped up. This one's like a dynasty potpourri. We're going to, at the end of the show, I'm going to let Jerry bust on my newest running back and tight end rankings. I'll explain all of that in just a second. But first, let's hear the Podfather explain Underdog.
It has been 2 years since Josh Larkey paved the way for fantasy gamers to start expecting positive returns from Pick'em games, specifically Underdog Pick'ems. And how do you do it? Well, you look at the slate and you find a great shootout or a sneaky shootout. You also look for a shit show game. 3, 4, 5, 6 guys in one game. That's right. You can do it. You can do it. And you can 100x your payout on Underdog. Think about week 1. Jets-Bills was a shit show. Did we see the Aaron Rodgers injury coming? No, but we knew the Jets have a good defense. We knew the Bills have a good defense. Why not expect the worst? And the worst is what we got. So if you had gone Dalvin Cook less than, Garrett Wilson less than, Aaron Rodgers less than, Josh Allen less than, Gabriel Davis less than, boom, 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 you can go 6 for 6. Same thing in week 2. Oh, week 2. Oh, sneaky shootout there in Philadelphia. Minnesota's going to be in comeback mode, so we'll go Cousins, Jefferson, Hawkinson, more than, Madison, less than, but also Swift, more than. Boom, 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 boom. That's how you do it with the Underdog Pick'ems, and you use promo code UNDERWORLD to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. You put in $100, Underdog matches that deposit up to $100 with promo code UNDERWORLD. Go start picking.
As if we needed the Podfather or anybody else to explain Underdog to us. Underdog's really good shit, and you should be doing it. I do Pick'ems myself. It's a lot of fun. But I want to get with our own playoff rankings. Do you know how many leagues that you still have live?
No. I would guess probably about half.
You know what? I did the math on mine. I am still alive in 8 of 17. Because I trimmed out a lot of our non-patron leagues. We have 18 patron leagues. I'm in 13. I don't know how I missed the other 5. But there for a while, we were having so many people join so quickly. It just didn't make sense to have both Jerry and I have a team. Because then you only had room for 10 patrons in there. So, but I'm in 13 of the 18. And I'm still alive in 5. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. Well, you know, what is that, like 45%? That's not bad.
Not, bad. Not 40, terrible. 45%. I lost in Scott Fishbowl this week, too. Good luck to Tyler Orzinski. He's he made it to the semis 2 years in a row. Good for him.
Our boy Neil.
Me and Neil both got clobbered this week, unfortunately.
Neil picked the wrong week to have a really bad week because he was undefeated in the regular season. He was rolling. And just a hell of a time to have a bad week.
It's a mean game.
It's a horrible game. And then I'm looking at my industry leagues, and I'm in 4 of those. Those are on MPL. And in those, I'm still alive in 3. And by the way, there's nothing better than sweating a Monday night game and getting by. Because, you know, the listeners, you know, they want to know that we're real dynasty gamers, too. And, dude, I was sweating. Again, Mike Tyson in a spelling bee. Think about that visual.
I mean,
your word?
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I mean, I was sweating Kenneth Walker at the end. I needed him to get three more points. He did not come through for me. I needed a big game. I got a big game, just not quite good enough.
So in the one industry league I was playing, good friends of the show, Tyler Gunther and Doug Eddy from the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. And I had a 10.5 point lead and I was fading Zach Charbonnet. Good thing our man KW3, good thing he was healthy, took care of the lion's share. And what a time for Zach Charbonnet to have his second worst performance of the year. And I just thought I was screwed in this league because I'm counting on Josh Allen, who had like one of his worst games of the year, counting on Sam Howell, who had his worst game of the year, Austin Eckler, and I still managed to squeak by. Oh, I lost Michael Pittman in that game like because he got hurt in the first half. Still managed to squeak by, and that's a league that, A, I've won 3 of the last 4 years, not so humble brag, and I talk so much shit in that league. I mean, like, incessantly.
Anyone that's listened to this podcast knows that's true.
Oh, 100%.
Because you talk shit about that league on this podcast.
Oh, 100%. I make sure they know it. But I got a real tough matchup this week, and then the other one is the money league that you and I just did a patron podcast on, trade you and I made today. And then the GOAT, one of the GOAT leagues, JD and Dan and Theo from the GOAT District, also here on Player Profiler. I'm in the semifinals. Really bad luck on that team because come into the season with Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. And they're not going to hear this in time, but there was Easton Stick was still on waivers. And CJ Beathard and Case Keenum and Tyler Heinicke. So this is one of those times where being lazy and not doing waivers all year comes in my favor because I'm going to get one of the, I'm going to get one of those guys because I put in a, I have a full complement, a full allocation of waiver wire dollars. And then I put in a couple of $0 bids on the other. Those waivers run here in 40 minutes. So hopefully I get one of those guys, but that's where I'm at. Out of those eight leagues, I would love to, if I could walk, I'll be honest, I'm not greedy. I am, because the league I would prefer to win, if I could win two or three, I would be thrilled to win two or three leagues. The one I'd like to win is the big money league that you and I covered on our Patreon podcast. But if I could win two, I'm good with that. What about you? What's your breakdown?
You know, I don't know exactly what it is. I did have a good handful of bye weeks, which I realized when I started to set my rosters. I don't know what everybody's process is, but I set all of my rosters on Thursday. Before the game, I set every single roster. And then on Sunday, I update it just to cover any injuries, make sure that the Monday night guy is in a flex spot, and yada, yada, yada. I do that every time. I realized that I had quite a few bye weeks because it was easy and it was quick. Usually it's a pain in the ass and it takes me an hour to set all my rosters. So I am excited for that. The one league that I am super invested in is Patreon 14, which is our relegation league where we have four different tiers and it's like English Premier League soccer, where if you, you know, if you win it, you move up a league. And if you are in last place, you get relegated below a league. And it's a super complex process that they all handle. And I just have to read the pinned tweet or the pinned message every week because I forget exactly how it works. Thank you, Neil. But me and Ben Doggy are at the top of the bottom tier because Neil hates both you and I and wants us dead. So he put us in the third division, which is the scraps. We get the worst rookie picks. We had the latest picks in the draft. Like, we're talking, my first place team is Geno Smith, Kareem Hunt, DeAndre Hopkins, Jameson Williams, Noah Fant, Chuba Hubbard, Latavius Murray. I'm in first place. So that league is, you know, it's tough sledding to say the least. And it is, we have it set up so the first place team and the second place team play each other this week. And we are both tied. So whoever wins this one has a good chance of getting promoted into the next division. So I am super into that. And knowing this evil, awful game, I'm going to lose and I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to end up with a poop draft pick and it's going to be terrible. And I'm going to bitch next week. So hopefully that's not true.
Well, you'll have to hear me bitch next week because I'll be on that vacation. But I love this time of the year. I absolutely love the deals. I mean, we just covered it. I'm more active now than I ever am because typically I go into the season pretty comfortable with who I've got on my rosters. And I let the plan play out. And I covered this on the Dynasty Life, that the Dynasty Life is a show with our boy Theo Grimminger, also found right here on Player Profiler. And he and I were talking, and it's the thing that I do. Like, one of the questions in the podcast is, what is something that you do this time of the year? It depends if you're still active or not, like in your league, or are you competing? But I run, and I think it's part of my success, to be honest, is I run my teams like a business. And at the end of the season, I go through every team the way I go through a P&L at work. I go through the profit and loss, and I go through everything. And then you give the players a mini performance evaluation. Did this Kyren Williams? I got a ton of Kyren Williams. That's why I'm alive in so many leagues right now, more than like right at half, because I had a lot of Kyren Williams. Kyren Williams exceeded expectations. Travis Kelce did not meet expectations. And then you just go through. And then you can say, hey, did I have a plan? What was my plan going into 24? Did I stick to it? How'd that work out? What'd I do right in 2023? What'd I do wrong in 2023? What am I going to do differently in 2024 to make sure that I get a better result? And that result could be to tank, to get draft picks or a rebuild or whatever. But I think if you want to be really successful, And we talk about this, Nate, our buddy Nate is great at talking about this. Consider Dynasty to be like an entertainment expense. $50, which is probably the average. If you take our patron leagues and our my more expensive leagues and you sandwich them all together, they're about $50.
Yep.
You're not getting a good dinner at a good restaurant for $50.
No.
If you and Mrs. Jerry go to like Texas Roadhouse, it's not Ruth Chris. You know, it's just not. You're spending more than $50 with tip.
100%.
So, but if you're playing this game, forget about the money. You're just playing to win. You'll treat it like a business. Now, because some people just like to play to play. They like the camaraderie. They like the draft picks. They like the rookie. Everybody plays for different reasons. But if you really want to take your game to the next level, treat it like a business. Now, you have to spend hours and hours, but you probably already do, of time on it.
Because you're psychos.
Yeah. Yes. And then obviously, if you're going to do this process, do it with your most important rosters first. Take notes. And then, like, now's a great time. And I'm getting ready to do this. Jerry and I were talking about this before we hit the record button. This weekend, I'm going to record a list of guys that I'm going after in 2024 because I am sick like that. I've already got a full list of wide receivers, running back, just players in general that I'm going to go ahead and start offering. Because a lot of Dynasty content creators start taking the back half of December and January off and come back in mid-February for rookie content. Jerry, are we doing that?
Come on.
Have we ever done that?
Come on.
But if we're going to help you get ahead and stay ahead, I'm already putting out bonus content on the Patreon. But Jerry, we're almost 20 minutes into this show, and you know what we've not done?
What have we not done?
Good people. Bad tweets. And then we're going to do that. And then we're going to hear from Dallas because I owe Dallas Hyder an apology. I've not played any of his videos. That's okay. He's been super busy and not had time to make more. So we're going to hear about an upcoming rookie. And then we're going to let you beat up on my rankings. Does that sound like a good way to take this mixed bag of a show and keep her moving?
Yeah, I can dig it.
All right, let's get into this one. So Jeff Bell, repeat offender on good people, bad tweets. At for whom J Bell tolls on X. And his tweet from 6 days ago said, really hope Devon Achane can get this injury stuff sorted. Feels similar with a picture of Devon Achane and Javid Best. Now, Jerry, you were a card-carrying, still are, Lions fan. Very familiar with Javid Best. When you saw this tweet or you see this tweet, what are the first things that come to mind?
I mean, first and foremost, Achane has already done more than Javid Best ever did. I mean, Javid Best is riding the coattails of Monday night versus Chicago when he had one explosive run and the crowd went absolutely bananas. I was at the game. It was a wonderful time. I rolled my ankle because I stepped on the seat in front of me and was screaming while he did it. And when I came back, I planted and rolled it because I got weak ankles. Terrible time. You want me to be honest, Randy? I don't think he's ever going to sort it out. Like, I really don't. He's a little fella. And he's going to keep getting hit. As long as he plays, he's going to be good. He's going to be fine because he's extremely explosive. This is the worry I have always had about the man. And I know I don't. I'm going to, you know, spoil a little bit the Patreon show we just did. Me and you had a deal where I acquired said Devon Achane, but he's not my guy. I did acquire him. I am going to flip him. I don't want to say it feels familiar because that's not fair, because those are completely different situations. I mean, concussions are not something to be messed with, and you can't determine the seriousness of it. If you have ever listened to Stefania Bell, the ESPN fantasy football medical expert. She will tell you there are no different ranges of a concussion. Either you have one or you don't, and you don't know if you're better until you're better. There's no way to tell. And for whatever reason with Java Best, it just didn't work out. It's fine. Jeff Bell has tweeted worse things than this, in my opinion.
My take on all of this is it's apples and pomegranates. They're both like the same thing, but they're not the same thing.
He's fast and he's little. They get injured.
They're smaller than your typical running back that had injuries. But to your, first of all, your point about Javid Best never accomplishing what he's done compared to Devon Achane is very spot on. But for me, it's like where it got to be a bad tweet was comparing him to Javid Best. You can't control concussions. Not that you can really control knee injuries or hamstring injuries or whatever. Some guys are just going to be injured. But I think had he just said, hey, I hope he gets this injury stuff sorted out and doesn't bring Javid Best into it, he's not on the show. He does not make the show because he compared him. I see where he's going. It was an attempt. It was an attempt at comparison, and he's clearly better at X or Twitter than I am because he's got a lot more followers than me, and maybe that matters, and maybe this is the kind of engagement that he puts out. That's what it felt like. I thought there was a little disingenuousness to it, to be quite honest.
I think that was probably the point, though.
Yes, exactly. It was designed to get a conversation going that got going. Clearly, it made it onto this podcast.
And should Achane, you know, maybe if this continues and he doesn't really play and he falls off the face of the fantasy relevant world, then sure, it's the same. But we're talking about not even his first full season yet. So I don't know. If he stays healthy for an entire season next year, they're not even close to being comparable. So it's premature for sure.
100%, 100%. So, as you know, Dana White always gets the final word on good people, bad tweets. What am I feeling? Christmas season.
You know how fucking stupid you have to be to even think something like that, let alone say it publicly and act like you're fucking serious.
Yep. There you go. That is good people, bad tweets. All right, Jerry, what we're going to do is we're going to hear from Dallas. He's going to tell us about a prospect we need to know about so that we can watch this player as we hear their name bantied about throughout other podcasts and television shows and whatever. That way, when you hear it again, it has that familiar ring to it, and you can watch highlights and compare what Dallas said to what someone else says. And then we'll cover some of my most recent running back and tight end rankings. So let's hear from Dallas, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to this week's episode of the DWZ. That's right, the Dynasty Warzone's very own Prospect Premonition. And as always, I am your host, Dallas. You can find me on all the socials at Salad Galore, Dallas spelled backwards with double L galore. Great to be here, guys. And we're just going to dive right in. For those of you not privy to what the Prospect Premonition is, you haven't been listening, make sure to go back and listen to the last couple episodes. But each week, I take a under the radar, or in this week's case, kind of a unknown wide receiver, unknown player prior to the 2023 NCAA college football season that I have looked inside of my crystal ball and have seen success for your dynasty teams, looking like a pretty successful year on most of the picks thus far. But this is a guy that has been just a rocket in evaluation and value for Dynasty and Devy alike over the course of the last 3 months. And that is none other than Mr. Malik Washington, University of Virginia Cavaliers. And he's a wide receiver that, you know, a lot of question marks ultimately going around right now. A lot of very interesting things happening with this offense. There's not a lot of production outside of him. And In an ACC conference, there are always going to be question marks about your success at the wide receiver position. But when it comes to Malik Washington and what I see with the University of Virginia and that offense, there's only one thing of note on the offense in general at all, and it is Malik Washington, and teams still cannot stop him. He's got one of the most unique builds out of any prospect that's going to come out this year, or really has come out in the last couple of years. He's sitting at like 5'8". I think that's legitimately about how tall he is. He maybe even dips into that 5'7" Rondell Moore size, but the main difference between Rondell Moore and Malik Washington is Malik Washington's right around 200 pounds at that height, and he's a wide receiver. And like I said, his build's extremely unique. He reminds me more of a running back playing wide receiver. And the first thing I see when I watch his tape and I see him on the field, the guy he reminds me the most of coming out of college is Curtis Samuel. Coming out of Ohio State, kind of that tweener, that running back, that wide receiver mold. But looking at the 2023 regular NCAA season, he already, over the course of 10 games, has 1,300 receiving yards, 96 receptions, and 9 touchdowns. If it weren't for one game against Boston College where he snuck in at 97 yards as opposed to 100 yards, he would have gone 9 straight games with over 100 yards receiving already on the season. It's been the same story against top 10 offenses, top 10 defenses, top 10 teams. He's played Tennessee, UNC, and Louisville, all ranked inside of the top 12 at the time of playing. They lost all of those games, and still he put up over 100 yards against all of them except for Tennessee. Tennessee was the opener, and that was probably the most embarrassing loss that Virginia had the entire time. When I watch Malik Washington, there's not a lot on his tape, really, when it comes to speed or athleticism that pops out. But what does pop out is his ability to be extremely shifty with the ball in his hands. Breaking tackles, breaking angles, that type of thing is where he lives. And that's why he reminds me more of a running back while I'm watching him. He's a very unique build. And I don't think he's going to be a true wide receiver that comes into the NFL, even though he has proven since his time transferring from Northwestern this year at the University of Virginia that he's very capable with his hands. He's very sure-handed. He's very, very capable in route running. But the thing is, he doesn't get a ton of separation before the ball, which is kind of funny considering how shifty he is after the ball is in his hands. He's one of the best open field movers in this year's class, and it was very surprising. He's a guy I didn't have anywhere on my list and a guy that a lot of people didn't have on their list, but he's going to be a very unique prospect. And I do want to caution extreme reaches for him, but there's no reason that he can't be more successful than some of the other kind of hybrid players that we've seen of recent note. For me, it's not the same type of athletic separation as this guy, but he does remind me a little bit of Kadarius Toney, a little bit of that rawness, that movement ability with the ball in his hands, the ability to slip out. The thing is, he's a much better receiver overall and a much better route runner than what Mr. Kadarius Toney has been and was in college. So if you want two guys that you can look at when you look at Malik Washington and when you're watching the tape and kind of get a feel for what they might be in the NFL, think of the two gadgety players. That's most likely what you're going to get, or maybe even a transition to running back. I don't know. We'll see what the draft scouts think, but Curtis Samuel and Kadarius Toney are the two guys that this guy reminds me of the most. Athletic testing is the biggest question mark that I have for him, as well as his ability to separate early in routes. A little bit concerning if you're not super fast to be able to do that separation early. So a good combine could really skyrocket his overall draft value going forward. He is a true senior. We should see him in all of the primetime draft-related bowls. So make sure to keep your eyes out for Malik Washington. He's a name you are definitely going to be hearing a lot about over the next couple of weeks and next couple of months as the draft season kicks up. And he's a guy that, as I said, is destined for success in 2024. When he inevitably gets drafted and pops up in some kind of surprising value. Until next week, this has been the Prospect Premonition, and get ready for another big boy tight end on next week's episode.
Well, there you go, Gerald. We got a little Virginia prospect there. But are you ready to dissect my newest set of rankings?
Well, let's hopefully you didn't do anything too egregious.
Well, you know what? Theo didn't think so, but I wanted to get your opinion on him because, well, your opinion matters. Not that Theo's doesn't, because, you know, he's the boss here at Player Profile. That's true. I love Theo. Theo's great. So you want to do tight ends first, or you want to do running backs first?
Tight ends. Save sexy for last.
Okay, so I'll do them in clumps of four.
Okay.
And we can discuss anything that you want to discuss.
Yep.
Are you ready?
Yep.
I'm going to bite, and I'm going to say Sam Laporta 101 of tight ends. Number two is TJ Hockenson. We're going to stay purple, and we're going to go Mark Andrews. And this number four is going to be spicy, and I'll stop there. We'll discuss the first four. Evan Engram. So those are my first four tight ends. What are your thoughts initially coming out the chute?
I mean, I get not having Kelce in there just based on his age. What's your Engram argument? I like Evan Engram. I have lots of Evan Engram.
28. He has done it 2 years in a row. Last year on the season, he was tight end four. Currently on the season, he's tight end four. We added Calvin Ridley. We re-signed Zay Jones, blah, blah, blah. You know, all these guys. He's still producing. Oh, and here's the thing. He's a tight end four in spite of only having three touchdowns. His contract is going to keep him in Jacksonville through 2026. Then there's a bit of a wiggle room in there.
Yep. Yeah, because in 2026, cap hit 9.5 million, dead cap 9.5.
So he's not going anywhere.
He's there for 3 years.
So I've got 24, 25, 26. Ooh, yeah,
no, and Trevor Lawrence is going to be there.
And just because I value him at the tight end four doesn't mean the market does.
No, God, no.
But if I had to like draft these guys, like I'm building a team and this is the tight end round in Memphis, you can have it. So the first three are gone. Laporta, Hockenson, Andrews are gone. I'm taking Evan Engram over the rest of these guys because I know I'm going to have him for 3 or 4 years. And I can be able to start, you know, building that backup plan. We talked about a league that one of our patron leagues that I'm in, where I literally had Sam Laporta, Trey McBride, and Jake Ferguson on the same roster. Traded Sam Laporta to you because you're a Lions fan and you gave me a fair price, but I could afford it. So I would do something similar. I would have my Evan Engram, and I would be still looking for that next tight end. So that's my case for Evan Engram.
I think that's fair. I think all of it's fair. I'm fine having Hock ahead of Laporta. I'm fine having Laporta there. I think they're one and two. I mean, the only worry I really have about Laporta is if the Lions realize that Jameson Williams is probably not going to be it and they draft somebody, but I don't really think they're going to, at least not yet. So, and dude's been an absolute animal. So, I mean, 9 touchdowns as a rookie? You kidding me?
Yeah, my only fear for Laporta, is Ben Johnson leaves.
True, which is fair.
But
Jared Goff's not leaving. So, and Jared Goff is confident in him.
That's true. And once Jared Goff, he did it with Cooper Kupp. Once he has a guy locked up in his sights, he's happy to use him. And my concern, not concern, but you got to have, you know, pros and cons. My con to Laporta is that there's going to be games, like he had this monster game last weekend.
Yep.
And there's going to be games where he,
I mean, if he doesn't have he the touchdown, he has 50 yards, which is fine. That's a fine floor for a tight end.
It's going to be, I think it's ironic because they both went to Iowa. I think there's going to be times where Laporta feels very George Kittle-ish, where he gives you 8 or he gives you 38.
Yeah.
And it's because George Kittle shares an offense with Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, just like Laporta is sharing one with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery and Amon-Ra St. Brown, and they're probably going to add another piece to that offense. I like Laporta for the same reason that I like George Kittle, is that he can dominate. And speaking of George Kittle, he's in my next cluster. People aren't going to like this. So number five, Trey McBride. Number six, George Kittle. He's still only 29. Number seven, Dalton Kincaid. Number eight, Travis Kelce. So what are your thoughts there? questions.
I think you're too spicy on Kelce. I get that he is old. And you probably don't have a ton. I mean, dude is still going to hit 1,000 yards this year. So I'm gonna have him, I would say probably 4. But other than that, McBride, totally cool with. I think Kincaid might be a little high, but that's just personal preference. He could also take a step, especially because Stephon Diggs probably is not long for that offense.
Kincaid feels high because he's being graded on the curve that is Sam LaPorta. And yeah. It's not, and I'm not going to hold it against Kincaid. I've seen plenty of flashes, and I know they need him to make it work. I will say there's going to be big upheaval in Buffalo. Gabe Davis is a free agent. Diggs could be gone. I don't know what they do with Knox.
I don't think it matters what they do with Knox, honestly. But Kincaid has been good enough. So, I mean, it's spicy, but also if you would have said McBride that high, I think a lot of people would say that's spicy, but bro has been an absolute target monster. Well, and Kyler's going to be there. He's a rookie. That team's going to be dog crap. So they want cheap assets since they already paid the quarterback.
And you're going to hear more of that.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason, that's like the secret sauce, if you will, of what made Jerry and I so successful, is we deep dive the situation without overreacting to it. Like, we weren't propping up Clyde Edwards-Helaire over Jonathan Taylor, but we were very bullish on that situation. And quite frankly, it could have worked out a lot better. We saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire this past weekend, what could have been. Yeah, so
I mean, that's like the Rashee Rice situation, and that was a positive version of it.
Yes, but the tight end's a little bit different because I like Trey McBride this year, and I have a ton of Trey McBride because I knew Zach Ertz was – I didn't think Zach Ertz was going to come back from the knee issue. To be quite honest, I'm actually surprised he's not re-signed with another team. But it was always the fact that Trey McBride had a 99% college dominator rating. It was great. But what else is great is that go back and look at Kyler Murray. He hyper-targets the tight end in his time in the pros. Who's the tight end? Who can be dominant? It's Trey McBride. It's not rocket math. Pretty simple stuff, gang. Sometimes we just have to get out of our own way. As far as Kelce, I'll wrap it up with Kelce in this block. He's 34 years old.
He's
basically the same age as Gronk, who's retired twice.
He is the same age as Gronk, who's retired twice.
And it's nothing against him. It's not the relationship with Taylor Swift. It's not anything else. It's at some point he became a 34-year-old tight end.
Yeah.
And that's what he is. And I can't have a 34-year-old tight end that high in my rankings. I'm doing the people that would want my rankings a disservice. So nothing against Kelce. I will just say this: next year, if you're doing a startup, and let's be honest, startup season, pretty good time. It's going to happen in the next month or two.
Yeah,
going to be a lot of them. And patreon.com/DynastyWarzone, hint, hint. But if you click the button on Kelce, you've said, I've got to win a championship in the next 2 years. That's what you said when you hit submit player or draft player. You said, I'm going to go try to win. These other guys, they can give you just as many points and not lock you into a draft strategy. So that's why my final four, the final four, 9 through 12, Dallas Goedert, Kyle Pitts. This one, a guy recently moved up. I could have him higher because I think part of it's the offense, but I think part of it's his quarterback is David Njoku.
Okay.
Dude, Joe Flacco been making tight ends since back in the Baltimore days. Joe Flacco, much like Kyler Murray, always a big tight end quarterback. And then my final guy, I think you're going to see a big upheaval in this offense now that Matt Canada's gone. I think they're going to get a new OC in the offseason. That's Pat Freiermuth. So that is my top 12 at the tight end position. Questions on the back four?
No. I mean, Pitts was going to have to come up, and we're going to have to talk about him. I understand why he's there.
Pitts?
Yeah. Okay. I get it. It's been not good. I just don't think he's the reason why it's not been good. And Desmond Ridder is not going to be long for this league. At this point, I'm blanking on their coach. Shoot him into the sun.
Arthur Smith.
Arthur Smith. Yes, thank you. Arthur Smith is probably not long for that job either. That's a putrid-ass division, and you can't win it.
Okay.
And if we can get some new people in there, and bro's going to be 24 years old. I mean, we've seen it with Evan Engram. He showed flashes as a rookie. By the time he was 27, 28 years old, now he's tight end four. I feel like that's sort of the same sort of thing for Kyle Pitts. Uh-huh. You don't know when it's coming.
Yep.
And that's why it's down here, and I get it.
Yep.
He just he's not going away. We're going to be talking about Kyle Pitts for the next 8 years.
Sure, because people have a sunk cost fallacy.
100%. At some point, I do think he is going to return that value. Maybe definitely not to where he was drafted.
Just like Evan Engram, when he starts returning that value, I'll move him back where he should be. Yeah. So Kyle Pitts is currently in no tight end premium, but in just one PPR point per reception. Where do you think Kyle Pitts ranks on the season?
Oh, he's got like 500 yards. He's got like no touchdowns. 15th.
Check out the big brain on Jerry. He nailed it. Where do you think he ranks on targets on the season?
He can't have that many targets. So probably in the same-ish range.
He's ninth.
Oh, okay.
He has the same. He has 78 targets to Kyle Pitts. Oh, it's not Kyle Pitts. Cole Kmet, who is your tight end seven. It's fair to say David. Keep wanting to go back to someone not named Kyle Pitts. I'm doing great. English is my second language. Hillbilly's my first. But Cole Kmet is doing more with his targets than Kyle Pitts is doing with his. It's not a volume issue. I mean, I'm looking right now at targets on the season. He's got more targets than George Kittle.
Does he really? That's wild.
He has two more. He has more than Dalton Kincaid, more than Dalton Schultz. Dallas Goedert, I get. And he's within three of Cole Kmet. He's within four of Jake Turd Ferguson. Oh, and what do you know? He's within seven of Trey McBride. Now, I get all targets are not the same. They're coming from different quarterbacks, and I dig that. But that's why I always go to Cole Kmet, because the quality of passes from Desmond Ridder, I know people love Justin Fields. He's a 60-some-odd percent passer, like 62%. Yeah. So don't piss on my shoes and tell me a training. But you get my point. I just don't think he's done I don't think he's done the most with his opportunities that some of these other guys have.
100% true. If I was going to bitch about anybody on your list, I think it would be Dallas Goedert. Because if there's a person that just has never gotten me excited, and it seems like he's a name that everybody talks about every single time, and he's just never been good. Like
That's why he's fair at nine. He's fair at nine.
I guess.
You know what? Missed one. I missed one. Actually, Freiermuth is my 13th. I actually had Freiermuth 13th and Njoku 12th. Turd Ferguson was in there at 11th. I glossed over Jake Turd Ferguson. And he's going to go up, you know, as Dallas has to pay CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, and they just paid Trayvon Diggs, and Dak's going to be up. You got to have cheap players at other positions, and Jake Ferguson is currently in year two of a rookie deal. My man's got another at least 2 years in that offense before they cycle him out like they did Dalton Schultz. So I love Jake Ferguson as well.
He's going to get a ton of opportunities.
Good offense.
That offense.
100%.
Also, he was a good tight end at Wisconsin. I mean, I have a lot of free Jake Ferguson just because I liked him at Wisconsin, and that has worked out really well for me. I'm not going to complain about that one. Like, I'll take Jake Ferguson over Dallas Goedert, but that's me.
All right. Well, I tell you what, let's run a commercial for a tool that might inspire you to select higher rookies or rookies in a different order because you use the Breakout Finder.
Oh, hey, it's Mr. Breakout Finder coming at you. The Breakout Finder features three key tools: a database of metrics that includes speed score, college dominator, breakout age, but also Breakout Finder only stats like dynamic score, level of competition, teammate score. All of these things are part of the overall Breakout Finder algorithm that pinpoints the probability that a player will break out. Everyone's talking about my model does this and my model does that. Well, we give you the data points that go into the model. We have a feature that lets you compare players And then we give you the precise probability of every wide receiver, every running back sorted and filterable by class year. So when I'm talking to my friends and I need to show them why I'm so bullish on Player X, I pull out the breakout finder and bam, there he is. So go to the App Store, go to Google Play. It's $5 to get the breakout finder and then a couple extra bucks to get some of these additional enhanced stats. Go download it and thank me later.
All right, Mr. Breakout Finder. All right, Jerry, without further ado, let's bring this one home on the running backs. Everybody loves running backs, Jerry.
True.
All right, I think I'm going to agitate some people with these, but that's what I'm good at. So I'm going to do what I'm good at. Number one, Detroit Lions own Jahmyr Gibbs. Number two, Bijan Robinson. Number three, Breece Hall. Number four, Jonathan Taylor. Yes, I know there's a name missing. We're going to get to that name here in just a hot second. But of those first four, what are you thinking, Jer?
Okay. Sorry, I'm writing them down. I like to look at the date, write everything down that we do so I can look back, judge our process so we can get better in the future. You said Gibbs, Bijan, who, JT?
Breece Hall.
Okay.
Breece Hall.
That makes sense.
I'll be honest. I only have Breece Hall ahead of Bijan ahead of Breece Hall because of the knee issue. It's not about the difference in years of service, but the ACL is always going to linger. So Breece Hall been pretty good. And Bijan, he's only had three games of 20 points or more. And the reason why I picked 20 points is because that was what I feel like is a weak winning type week out of a running back.
I would agree.
Jahmyr Gibbs, if I remember correctly, has five, and he's played two less games. I get Arthur Smith I don't want to go down a generational rant rabbit hole because I will. Because generational means once in a generation.
Right. Yeah, we have two generational running backs on these first four picks. So
you know, it's funny, like when I hear generational quarterback, I think of like my dad's generation, and I think of like, you know, John Elway. John Elway would have been, and then I'm a Gen X. I'm barely Gen X. I barely missed you goddamn millennials. But I'm Gen X, and our generational quarterback was Peyton Manning. And then you millennials, you all had Andrew Luck.
Yeah,
and then did. Gen Z. Gen Z is anyone 26 or younger was Trevor Lawrence. But here we are 2 years later, 3 years later, you're trying to sell me Caleb Williams as generational. That ain't how this works. I'm just saying, and that's kind of how I feel about Bijan. If you want to say he's the best running back prospect that we've saw since Saquon Barkley, cool. I can live with that. I can live with that, but we're too quick. By the way, is Texas still playing college football this coming weekend, I believe?
They are.
Next weekend? It's like coming up. Yeah. Okay. So if you lost a generational prospect, do you do better? I'm just saying he's very, very, very good. We got to be very, very, very careful about the term generational. So I'm going to put the guy who's in a great offense, plays with a solid quarterback. We all assume that these guys in Atlanta are going to get a head coach upgrade, and we assume they're going to get a quarterback upgrade. We don't know that. I'm going to go with the known. And the same thing with Breece Hall. I know Aaron Rodgers is coming back. I know Nathaniel Hackett's coming back. I don't dig that very much, but you know what are you going to do?
Right.
I still believe in Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers' presence will make things easier for Breece Hall. So
there's no issues with the first four.
JT just signed the deal. It sucked that he broke a thumb. I really need him to play this weekend for multiple reasons because I'm a Colts fan and I've got him in a couple of these final tournaments. But I'll go into my next four. Christian McCaffrey, Kenneth Walker, Travis Etienne, and this next one's going to blow you away, and I know which two I'm going to talk about, but I'll go through them quickly. Kyren Williams. And I know that's high. It's higher than Giraffe Nuts. I'll get to him. CMC, the reason why I put him five and not one or two is simply because he's 28. And much like the Travis Kelce conversation, if you hit draft player on CMC, the rest of that build has to be a win now build.
Correct.
Because you're only going to have him at this peak level for another year or two. And with the rest of these guys, Gibbs and Bijan, and even JT just signed an extension, you've probably got, instead of a 1 to 2 year window, you've probably got a 2 to 4 year window. So it's a little bit different there for me. Kenneth Walker's just a dog. He's had some bad luck with injuries, and that's part of the reason why he's not higher, to be quite honest. If he had had a cleaner bill of health, like, you know, it's an oblique here, it's a hamstring there, it's just like little things. But if this dude ever puts together a full season, he could be a monster. Travis Etienne has just been so solid, not spectacular, but just very, very good. Had a couple of nice games, a couple of blow-up games, but you know what? Even his bad games aren't that bad, and he's not going anywhere. I think he's going to be part of that offense. And then Kyren Williams. You can scoff at Kyren Williams. Here's what I know about Kyren Williams. When he plays for the LA Rams this year, they're 6-4. Without him, they're 1-3 when he had the high ankle sprain. This is the type of offense that Sean McVay wants to run. Think about the success they had with Todd Gurley. And I'm not saying Kyren Williams is Todd Gurley, but I am saying that I see a 2024 and a 2025 where Kyren Williams finishes his rookie deal, probably the last two good years of Cooper Kupp, probably the last two good years of Matt Stafford. Puka Nacua will continue to improve. He's going to be able, barring injury, because he's had some injury issues himself, especially ankle. If he stays healthy, he's going to be really, really good. So those are those four, Jer.
Kyren Williams is spicy, bud. I'm going to give you that one.
That's okay.
I get it. I mean, when you get 25 touches and you have, what has he got, 500 or 600-yard games this season? I mean, that's
something. This is the conversation. Do I think this is going to continue? Yes. Sean McVay saw Kyren Williams because obviously they drafted him, had no problem trading Cam Akers and backing him up with Royce Freeman. And the commitment I saw really came this last weekend too. He had two fumbles in a game where at one point they had a 28-point lead or a 21-point lead. They could have pulled him. They could have pulled him for the rest of the game, but they didn't. They stuck with him. And they see this as part of their success. I don't know that I love 25 touches at his size a game because I think there's going to be breakdown. I would rather see a little bit less rushing, a little bit more receiving, but I think I'm going to get
two. But has picked up the last couple of games also.
I think I'm going to get two solid years out of this guy, and that's as much as I can say for anyone else on this list at the running back position.
It's spicy. You know it's spicy. You should play with your guy. Yeah. And I've got a guy that I would take over him. I don't even know if you're going to say his name, so we'll wait and see.
Well, let's go the next four then. We'll go with the next four, because I'll be honest, I got to 12 and I was really stumped because there was a lot of ways I debated going. Number 9 is Rashad White.
Okay.
The reason why he's not higher is he's 25. He'll turn 25 in the offseason. You know, he's going to be in year 3 of the rookie contract, so I feel like I'm getting him for another 2 years. Devon Achane, really like him, love the talent. Go back to good people, bad tweets. The talent's clearly there. Can he fade the injury bug? I think people are going to have him in the top 5 in the offseason. I will not be one of those people. No. But I really like Devon Achane. James Cook. This is similar to L.A. This is what Buffalo's wanted, guys. They don't want their $500 million quarterback running headlong. Josh Allen's only started really rushing more now that they've been playing for their playoff lives. And they want to lean on James Cook more. So I think James Cook is my 111. And then my 112, I'm very torn, Jerry. And I've got a smattering of guys here. I like Isaiah Pacheco. I like DeAndre Swift here, Tony Pollard, Josh Jacobs. I mean, there's a pocket of guys in this range that I really like. Like, if I knew where DeAndre Swift was going to play next year, and I know there's thoughts that he's going to re-sign in Philadelphia, you know, DeAndre Swift, if Jerry, have you seen Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights?
Yeah.
DeAndre Swift is Cal Naughton Jr. That was Ricky Bobby's slingshot guy. You know, remember where he asked Ricky Bobby, he's like, hey, man, what if I run a race? And he was like, well, how can I win a race if you win a race? Oh, you're right. I'll just be happy with second. That's DeAndre Swift in touchdowns as long as Jalen Hurts is there. hey, Jalen, you think I could get one of these touchdowns? Well, if you got a touchdown, how would I get the touchdown? You see how this goes. So I would love. And I think DeAndre Swift could shoot up this list if he were to wind up signing as a free agent in L.A. with the Chargers to replace Austin Eckler in Cincinnati to replace Joe Mixon, Houston to give C.J. Stroud. There's like so many of these exciting, tantalizing possibilities that he could land in. And if he lands in a really good one, we're going to be forced to reevaluate because he's only going to be 25. He and I actually share a birth date, not same year. I'm way older than this guy. But we're both born in January, so he's going to turn 25. So he's the same age as Rashad White. So there you go. Did I get your guy? Did I not get your guy?
You did. You did get my guy.
It's James Cook or Rashad White?
James Cook. I mean, Rashad White's my guy too, but James Cook. No Saquon, huh?
He's going into year 7. Injuries all the time. Bad offense,
performing that well.
Bad offense, and all these things. Again, it's the Trey Bright conversation over again. You really have to look at their situation, and just like Breece Hall, look at his situation. He can't control that he got an ACL, or he probably would have avoided it. He can't control that he lost his starting quarterback for the years. Has been playing with crumb bums and shoe clerks ever since. It's not his fault, but that's all in the equation. You know, so for me, the reason why JT's so high and right there with Christian McCaffrey is I've seen what Shane Steichen has done with this offense, even with a backup quarterback like Gardner Minshew. And JT was balling before he hurt his thumb. And, you know, a thumb is one of those fluky injuries. There's not really a lot you can do to protect your thumb. So that's my top 12, Jerry. I just thought I would share this. I don't do a lot of rankings. I know people love them. Theo has inquired about having me do rankings throughout the season on Player Profiler. I think this is one of those give in a relationship where they've given us the opportunity to grow our brand and our platform here on Player Profiler. So I'm going to give Theo some rankings and I'll update them. That'll be coming in the off season. But I thought since I did them and people love rankings, I thought I'd cover them.
I think it's good.
All right.
Hold on. We're not done talking about James Cook first.
Okay.
Foremost.
Okay.
Because there was a lot of people in the rookie draft that were very upset that me and you had a discussion that said it was viable for anybody to take James Cook between the 103 and the 108. And he was going in 107s in rookie drafts and 106s and 109s and 111s. And the Twitter hive was, it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You've picked Clyde Edwards-Helaire. This dude has 1,400 yards in 14 games. He's going to hit probably 1,600 yards this year. And 550 of them are going to be receiving yards, and he's got all the receptions to go with it. That dude was a monster. He was an absolute steal, and he's going to still be in a good offense for 2 more years. And if he continues production like this, with being Dalvin Cook's brother, you've seen the lineage and what he can do. He is absolutely a candidate for a second contract. And if he's a second contract guy, you're talking about 4 years, which is a fucking eternity in this game at the running back position. Dalvin Cook is like, I'm taking James Cook over. This is going to sound spicy over Kenneth Walker, over probably Christian McCaffrey. I mean, if I'm just trying to win, don't get me wrong. Like, obviously I'm going to go Christian McCaffrey if I'm on a 1 year thing. But if we're talking like I have to rely on a running back for the next 3 years, give me James Cook. And maybe this comes back and bites me. I'm not stupid. I know it's entirely possible. But what this dude is doing production-wise right now is super stardom. And he's in his second year. And his first real opportunity.
Allow me to read you some James Cook stats and where he ranks currently. Yep. Where do you think he's at in rushing yards in the league?
Ninth.
Second. Only behind Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
Rushing TDs, he doesn't even sniff it because he's got two. He's got two. Rushing attempts, where do you think he's at in rushing attempts?
Lower than that.
He's outside the top. I'm just using this little Instagram page, okay. But he's outside the top 10. So he's second rushing yards, but not in the top 10 in rushing attempts. Okay. I like
the kids call that efficiency.
I like that. Guess where he ranks in yards per attempt? Hashtag efficiency.
Pretty damn near the top.
Fourth. Tied with Kyren Williams for fourth, 0.2 of a yard behind Christian McCaffrey and 0.6 of a yard behind Jahmyr Gibbs. Ironically, Jaylen Warren averaging 5.5 yards. Maybe we should give him some more touches coming from a Najee fan. Moving on. Yards after contact. Where is James Cook?
Pretty good would be my guess.
Third.
Nine. Eight. Damn it.
Third.
I keep going with the back end of the single digits.
Only McCaffrey and Henry have more.
Wild.
Crazy.
So hold on. If you're comparing running backs in that frame, those are all extreme superstars that are probably Hall of Famers, and James Cook is a second year player. That is trending towards going to be pretty reliable in the future.
Scrimmage yards, 1,401.
Yeah.
Only behind Christian McCaffrey. That's a full 150 plus ahead of Travis Etienne. It's 100 higher than Rashad White. Your boy's murdering it out there, Jerry. He barely misses the top 10 in running back receptions, but he's fifth, cinco in running back receiving yards.
Listen, 433. I could have done an entire opus of good people, bad tweets about James Cook's draft because I looked it up, Randy. I was in my petty when I saw that he was at 1,400 yards and he hit that threshold in 14 games. And so I searched it. I searched James Cook 106. And if you want to see some of the funniest shit you have ever seen, just search that on Twitter. But at least those people have Treylon Burks. Enjoy that pick.
I do a homework assignment for you this week. I want you between now and next week, whenever you and Kev, producer Kevin, record the show, I want you to do your top 12. And you do your top 12 tight ends, you do your top 12 running backs, and you share those with producer Kevin, and you guys I will be watching from Mexico. But I have got two podcasts, three actually, because I've got the Dynasty War Games guys, Jesse, Mike, Austin, those guys, they're doing content that comes out on our channel. So if you want more Dynasty coverage and guys will not take time off, Dallas will start the Rookie Rundown podcast back up. He won't be just popping by with guys. That's why you subscribe to the Dynasty Warzone YouTube and podcast channel, as well as the Player Profiler YouTube and podcast channel. But Jerry, I'm going to wish you good luck this weekend as you go to battle in your remaining leagues. I am going to sweat it out. I'm even debating, do I buy the sketchy Wi-Fi on the plane so I can, because like our plane, for those of you that give a shit, because if you're still here, you do, and you're the ones we appreciate. Our plane takes off at 11. So I have to have all my lineups like locked in. Yeah, But before the plane takes off, because I don't land until I think it's 3 p.m. Central. So by then it's like the 4 o'clock game's getting ready to go. And, you know, I don't know what a international Wi-Fi package costs.
That's the last thing you want to do is lose because of some roster bull crap because you're on a plane. So make sure you are set and ready, my friend.
I'm already sweating it. And guys, be smart. It's like I'm in a super flex league, the big money league that you and I were talking about. I've got Dak, I've got Trevor Lawrence, and I've got Derek Carr. The problem is Derek Carr plays on Thursday night. So I've either got to be willing to go without a super flex and maybe play a wide receiver or a running back or an additional tight end in that spot, or I have to gamble and put Derek Carr in there. It's the same thing in the same league. I've got Taysom Hill, who I can play in one, because this is a must-start two tight ends league. Yeah. I can start Taysom Hill, but if I do, that's on Thursday night. But Hunter Henry has been killing it again since Bailey Zappe took over. But Hunter Henry's got a knee issue. So all these things, Jerry, all these things are
such a terrible game. It's just so mean.
It's what makes it so great. It's what makes it so great. And so it makes you guys great. If you want to do more, we've mentioned the Patreon a lot. I stopped doing ads for it. We'll just organically bring it up because it's a large part of how we Dynasty. We have a tremendous group of ladies and gentlemen that play Dynasty Fantasy Football, contribute to our group chat, get extra podcast, one-on-one help with their leagues. You're more than welcome to join. Guys, it's $5 a month. You know, it's like literally, I was at work today, and a coworker of mine named Dale, he went to Starbucks to get a coffee. And I said, look at you with your $8 coffee. You're being like an asshole because, well, I've got to be an asshole. It's like an old habit, like breathing. And I was like, look at you with your $8 coffee. And he was like, yeah, that's what it cost. So for like 65% of an $8 coffee, you could be a
patron. Which is all ice.
It is all ice. It's a great big hustle. And it wasn't even a big one. It was like the medium sized joint.
Oh yeah, it's all ice and oat milk.
$8. I mean, for $5, you can come hang out in the patron.
I mean, it's delicious, but it's not as delicious as the patron.
As they say, not as delicious as the patron. And like, you know, so here's the thing. You're going to give up one. Maybe you drink one a day. That's fine. Maybe you drink one a week. But if you can sacrifice one and replace that dude with like a $1 McDonald's gimmick, put your own cream and sugar in there for one day, just one day, you're like, I just paid for my patron membership at patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. It's not super hard. The math's pretty easy, really. $5 a month helps the show, pays for the streaming, blah, 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 blah. And we'll be having orphans soon. We'll be filling orphans. Last year, we did a promotion where if you signed up, we put you in a patron league for free. We'll pay the dues out of the dues. It's just a way of keeping our group together, keeps the Dynasty Warzone going. And Jerry, you got anything besides Merry Christmas to you and the lovely Mrs. Jerry and your dog?
Nope, definitely got that out to everybody. Good luck to everybody. Theo declined my trade, so good luck to everybody except for Theo. He did not want A-Chain. It's fine. I'll just go F
he doesn't
myself.
Like, apparently Theo's not walking it like he talks it. Because you don't, if you love A-Chain, you love A-Chain. You don't, you love him unconditionally.
That's true.
You don't get an option. All right, Jer, let's get out of here. I got podcasts to edit. You got things to do. So on behalf of that man and on behalf of the entire Dynasty Warzone crew, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you Happy Holiday, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever it is that if you're just taking time off and just enjoying the time off with your friends and family, I hope you do it safely. I hope you do it with the most joy you can in your heart. And until next time, on behalf of Jerry Sinclair, remember, here at the Dynasty Warzone, we are just trying to make the world a better place for fantasy football. Screwed up my own tagline. Damn it to hell.
Hey, I want to take a moment to thank you for tuning in. It's important to me that all of our media be free. This is only possible because of you. Allowing a true independent sports media enterprise to thrive unlike any other in the business. So please subscribe to the All-In Package to continue to make all this possible, to ensure that all of our stats, information, data, content is available to you, especially you, the people that get the site and get the show.
When we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday, and if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.